What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, March 27th. We're about 24 hours away from the start of Miami Marlins season. Baseball is almost here, and I cannot wait for its return. Yesterday, I was out at Lone Depot Park. I posted one photo on my IG story right after I posted my, do I want to say daily parlay? Not daily, because I don't put in a parlay every single day, but often I do. And the Colorado Avalanche did not come through last night against Montreal. Like, come on, what are we doing here? Supposed to score like six goals, and the former Panthers goalie for Montreal decides to have the best game of his life. But I'm not here to talk about the Avalanche and the Habs. Yesterday, I was at Lone Depot Park. They had a food event. I was tasting some of the food. I was taking in the vibe of the ballpark. I am ready for opening day. And I know a lot of you are ready for opening day. Not necessarily with the Marlins. We got a lot of Yankees fans in this audience. We got Mets fans in this audience. I know there's a huge New York presence here in South Florida. There's also a Boston presence in South Florida, and I saw that last night on my TV because I wasn't there. But at the Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, there were lots of Bruins fans in attendance, and they wound up leaving that arena much happier than Panthers fans did. So what am I going to do here on this show today? I am going to talk a lot about the Dolphins. No, I'm not. Actually, Dolphinland has been a little quiet the past few days, hasn't it? I want to focus, not the entire hour, but I do want to focus probably two segments. I want to focus on the Marlins, what we can expect from them this season. Tomorrow, I won't be here. I'll be here, but I won't be on the airwaves because I'm going to be at opening day. And really, opening day is a huge deal. We know that. I do not want to miss the game. I want to be there in person. I got people to talk to. I got things to see. And I can't do the show while the game is going on. So I won't be here tomorrow. I'm here right now. You can hear my voice, not somebody else's like yesterday. And I will be with you on Friday. So I'll recap what happened on opening day on Friday. Talk about how the Marlins just came right out of the gate with no offense but scored 22 runs and beat the Pirates 22-3. That would be something, wouldn't it? Not that they would win 22-3. I mean, that would be more than something. But even more than that, I just said that they would win 22-3. And if they win 22-3, you'd probably think I was in on something. Will the Marlins score 22 runs in their first homestand, which is seven games? That's probably a better question, let alone scoring 22 tomorrow. They've got the Pirates for four, and then they've got the Angels coming to town. So seven games, will they score 22 runs? Yesterday, Skip Schumacher, I was there when he was talking to the media, he said they got to score more than two runs a game. So that would be three. That'd be a little bit more than three if they scored 22 in their first seven. We shall see about that. But it was nice being there yesterday, just being in that environment. I made some observations. Yesterday, I did have some interesting conversations. I was talking to Bruce Sherman, the Marlins owner, was probably there with him for about 10 minutes. He's an interesting guy. I mean, he's asking me trivia questions, baseball trivia questions. The dude loves baseball. I don't know if he loves spending money. Everybody wants to win. You own a team, you want to win. You love the game. But how can the Marlins win the way they are constructed right now? So I had some interesting convos yesterday. I'll get to those. The fact that we are one day away from the beginning of Major League Baseball season, a season where each team has 162 scheduled games, that is just fantastic. Action every single night. And now with the Hard Rock Bet app, I want to see how these same-game parlays work for MLB because we haven't seen that yet. The last time the app was around, it wasn't baseball season. Now we're going to get a little bit more information. Hopefully there will be some good strategies like I have with hockey. So we got baseball tomorrow. We've also got the NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16. That begins tomorrow. The NBA, they're winding down. It's almost playoff time, or as the Heat call it, play-in time. The Florida Panthers continue to make their playoff seeding push because we know they're already getting in. It's just a matter of where will they be seeding-wise and who are they going to play. So it's an exciting time. And last night, we had double-barreled action. The Heat, downtown Miami, taking on the Golden State Warriors. Golden State just running away from Miami in the second half because the Miami Heat could not buy a bucket. Jimmy Butler was DNP Miami Open. Jimmy goes to the Miami Open, the tennis tournament, and then he calls out sick the next day. You think that would cut it at any of your offices? Probably not. You go out there for hours, the Miami Open, you're having a good time. Next day, hey, yeah, I can't make it in today. Okay, yeah, cool, no worries. See you tomorrow. So I'll be getting into that. The Heat, what happened last night, Jimmy, DNP, Miami Open. And at the same time the Miami Heat were losing, the Florida Panthers had a 3-2 lead in the third period against the Boston Bruins. Not a whole lot of time left. And then the next thing you know,
you blew it!
That's exactly what the Florida Panthers did. They lose to Boston 4-3. A very tough loss. You're taking on the team right there with you, the top of the division. So important in the standings. At least I think it's important in the standings. You're battling for that playoff position, and then you blow that lead and you lose. Blowing the lead is one thing. But then minutes later, giving up another goal and losing that game? Come on. So I'm here in South Florida right now, and I'll be here for a while. I was checking out the tennis tournament as well. Tonight, I will be at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. So from the stadium to the hotel, I have my annual baseball dinner this evening. It's been going on now about 7 or 8 years. Four of us gather before opening day. Will Manso is there. Clay Ferrero is there. And Dookie Lang is there. It's like the three sports guys from Channel 10 and me. And we all gather. We have a great meal. We talk about baseball. We don't bring like pen and paper and write out predictions or anything like that. It's not a full-on baseball conversation. But we do talk some baseball. We get together. Opening day is just such a big deal. And that is tomorrow. So it's like you've got to do something before actual opening day. And I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago, I brought up the idea to those three guys. I said, hey, let's grab dinner. And we did. And then we said the following year, hey, let's do what we did last year. And then we just turned it into an annual thing. So tonight we'll be eating at the Hard Rock, and I'm sure we will have another excellent meal. And then opening day tomorrow, I will be at Lone Depot Park once again. And I do believe, now I haven't checked the exact forecast yet, but if there is not supposed to be a really good chance of rain tomorrow, I do believe the Marlins will have the roof open. And that ballpark is so much nicer with that roof open. But yesterday, see, and this is a little insight. I'm not going to say like it's a full-on scoop here because it's not solid yet. We don't know the answer. But yesterday, I was standing next to Bruce Sherman. I was talking to him. Skip comes over, Skip Schumacher, and Bruce was asking about the roof being open or closed, kind of wanted it open. And then he asked Skip Schumacher, hey, do you want the roof open on Thursday? And Skip said, it's up to you, whatever you want. But it seemed like he was pro roof open. It did get a little hot in there. You know how it is in South Florida. But we'll see. I think they want the roof open tomorrow. I don't know the exact forecast. And what could go wrong? It's not like it's rained inside the ballpark before, right? Especially on opening day.
All of a sudden, yep. That cloud has opened up.
One of those little pop-up showers we get here in South Florida. You don't expect that inside Marlins Park.
And they didn't expect it.
Oh, that's right. It did. And I remember that day, too, because I was there and I was looking. I saw clouds, like dark clouds. And then I went on my radar app and I see the weather going straight towards the ballpark. And I'm telling people around me in the press box, yo, they better shut this roof like now. And they weren't. And I see the rain coming. And the next thing you know, yeah, it starts raining. And there was a short rain delay in a ballpark with a retractable roof. Hopefully they make the right call tomorrow. All right, I have a lot to get to this hour. Like I said, I do want to focus on baseball, but that will not be the only thing that I discuss. It is time for this hour to officially begin.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Does it feel like to you that the Miami Marlins are a returning postseason team? That's where I begin. See, last year, I think there was some magical fairy dust on this team. The Marlins had a wonderful ride, and nobody thought, including me, nobody thought that first-year manager Skip Schumacher would lead them to the postseason. Nobody. It ended quickly, but they got to the postseason. They had to go to Philadelphia. I went to Philadelphia. I was there. Very difficult place to play. Had a great cheesesteak, though. It was definitely worth the trip. Anytime I bring up that postseason with Philadelphia, I will always bring up the cheesesteak from Angelo's because it was so good. I was there long enough to get two cheesesteaks, and then I was on the flight back to Miami, and so were the Marlins. They were out. Now, as the season begins tomorrow afternoon, do you feel, when you will be watching the Marlins, like you are seeing a playoff team? Do you feel like you'll be seeing a team that retooled in the offseason to be even better than they were last year? Because when you get into the postseason and you don't win a game, you lose your first series and you're out, wouldn't you think in the offseason you want to make improvements to make sure that that does not happen again? And I'm not talking about, okay, yeah, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen again, so we're just not going to make the postseason so we don't lose in the first round. We just won't even get in. No, I'm talking about getting in and making sure you advance. You get past that first round. So as a Marlins fan or as a baseball observer, do you feel like the Marlins retooled this offseason to be a better team than they were last year? I'm sure the answer for a lot of you right there is no. And that's my answer as well. Going into opening day, you're supposed to be optimistic. I remember people always talked about Orioles fans. Oh, the Orioles fans, Baltimore fans are so happy right now because they're 0-0 and they've got a chance because they were always terrible. And recently, I mean, they were terrible. Now the Orioles are really good. They've built up their farm. They've done very well. The Marlins, it's like the complete opposite. You go into opening day now. You were just in the postseason last year. And how do you really feel? Realistically, how do you feel? I think the Marlins made some decisions this offseason that not only did not advance them, but set them back. What are they trying to do? They say they're trying to get back to the postseason and win a World Series. But it's not about what you say. It's about what you do. Now, to be fair, doing things in the offseason, they don't count in the standings. It's not like the Marlins are starting the season off with 12 losses because they didn't acquire pretty much anybody. I mean, a few guys, a couple guys. So that doesn't count in the standings, but you would think because of your lack of acquisitions, you're not going to pile up a bunch of W's to put in those standings. But let's be fair, you got to play the game. That's why Colorado and Montreal played last night, and I didn't hit my parlay like I thought I would, because you got to play the game. You just never know. And again, last year, I never thought the Marlins would make the postseason, and they did. But going into this year, going into opening day tomorrow, I don't see it again. And this time I see it way, way less. It's much further away than what I didn't see last year. They let Jorge Soler walk. And not only that, they did not go out and get more pitching. So you lose your number one home run hitter, and you have way less pitching than you did last season. How will the Miami Marlins be not just better than last year? How will they even be the same? They brought in Soler because they wanted some pop in that lineup. And he delivered last season. They've got Luis Arraez, and we know he's going to get on base. But once he gets on base, who's going to drive him in? I'm not saying the Marlins have nobody. But when you take a look at their offense going into opening day compared to what they had last year, are you going to tell me Josh Bell and Jake Berger, having them on opening day this season, is going to make the Marlins a whole lot better? Will it help them? Of course. But having a true home run hitter, a masher in that lineup for, what, $15 million, $16 million a year? I think that would have been worth it. Now, you could say Jazz Chisholm Jr., he's going to provide that pop. And you know what? I hope he does. Again, he's on my fantasy team. I bid on him. I took him because I know that Jazz can hit home runs. I know Jazz can steal bases. I know Jazz is a great baseball player, but he's got to be on the field. He can hit 30-plus homers, but can he stay healthy? That's always a question with him. And he's not a kid anymore. If Jazz stays healthy and he becomes who he's supposed to be, well, then we have an answer. But would you bet on that? What would you take as an over-under? What do you think would be fair for total amount of games played by Jazz this season? What would be a good line? 110? I hope he goes way over that. But can you rely on him? Jake Berger and Josh Bell, they're good. They're productive. I'm not going to diminish what they can do. It's not like they're slop. They're good. But are they true home run hitters? Are they going to put up 30-plus homers, 35-plus homers? Are they going to crush baseballs 430 feet all the time? I'm not going to count on that. If they could get it done, fantastic. Well, then you've got your answer. And I think that's what the Miami Marlins are relying on. And then it's not just about the offense. It's also about the pitching. What used to be a strength for the Marlins this season is a weakness. Sandy's the ace of the staff. He's not going to throw a single pitch the entire season. He had Tommy John surgery. He's on a long road to recovery. And the Marlins knew that going into the offseason. They knew they were going into this year without their ace. There were pitchers available on the market. Why didn't the Marlins go out and get one of them? So you take the fact that they let their number one power hitter leave. They lost their ace. They didn't bring anyone in to replace him. Does that sound to you like a team that wants to build off of last year's success? To me, it just sounds more of the same, what we were used to with previous ownership. Not going out there and spending money. Not going out there and getting a pitcher on even a one-year deal like Jordan Montgomery. Because we're not going to spend $20 million. Their pitching problem, it's not just not having Sandy, but baby Sandy, Yuri Perez. He had that elbow discomfort this spring. Thankfully, after seeing several doctors, they said no surgery, which gives you a glimmer of hope. He's been throwing. Maybe he'll be able to come back very soon and pitch, but you know they're going to baby him even more. Jesus Luzardo, he's a number three starter, but he's starting tomorrow on opening day. Great kid, local guy. You want to root for him, but is he an ace? AJ Puck is now a starter. That's an interesting experiment. The Marlins have been working to stretch him out. We'll see if it works. You combine him with Trevor Rogers, the Marlins will have the best pickup basketball team of pitchers in the league. Trevor started his career looking like he was going to be unstoppable. He lost it. Now he's trying to get it back. Max Meyer, he's on the big league club. Here's somebody who the Marlins drafted and developed. He's 23. Is he ready? I hope so. And then Sixto Sanchez. Sixto's throwing from 23 feet. Now he's throwing from 45 feet. Sixto had a setback. That's what we had talked about the last, 3 years. But Skip Schumacher said yesterday, it was amazing to see Sixto's progress, and he was so surprised. So now he's got a role in the bullpen. We'll see how that plays out. There's a lot of question marks going in to opening day tomorrow. Some intrigue, but a lot of question marks. Now, when I was there at Lone Depot Park yesterday with other media members, we had the opportunity to speak to Skip Schumacher. What do you think I asked him about? And did anybody else? I will get to that in just a moment. What you need to get to is my poker tournament next Tuesday night at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament with $20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool, and it's just $250 to buy in. Here's something special that I'm doing next Tuesday for my poker tournament. Anybody who shows up to my poker tournament, I will give you at 6:30 p.m., 30 minutes after the cards go in the air, I will give everybody there an exclusive same game parlay. And I feel like, because I'm looking ahead a little bit just to that day, I feel like this is going to be a great celebration for everybody in the poker room watching this play steam in next Tuesday. I'm not going to post it. It will only be for people who are at my poker tournament. If you don't care about the parlay and you just want to play cards, great. Let me take your chips. But if you get lucky and you take mine, I will give you two seats on the glass to go see the Florida Panthers in action. That's courtesy of the Workers' Comp Legal Center. Cards will be in the air at 6 p.m. next Tuesday night. That's April 2nd. You have until 9:30 p.m. to register. Don't miss it. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament with $20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool. Tuesday night, April 2nd. That's next Tuesday at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. As a lot of you know, I spend half of my time, if not more, in Medellin. I do my show from Medellin a lot. I really enjoy being there. The views are amazing. Girls, 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 girls. And I get to keep up with everything going on in South Florida. When it comes to big issues, things that should be discussed, the hard questions, a lot of times they don't get asked because I am not at a sporting event in person. And even being here in South Florida, I'm not going to every single game. I'm not going to every Dolphins game. I'm not going to every Heat game and every Panthers game and every Marlins game. It's not going to happen. There are reporters who cover the team and they go to every single game. I'm not going to do that even if I'm living right next to the ballpark. I loved when teams were using Zoom because then I was able to ask questions, as were all media members, from wherever they were. They could have been in their bathroom. They could have been at a poker game. They could have been at a poker table. And trust me, I did log in. This was a few years ago. I was playing in a poker game and I left the table for a moment. And I logged into the Marlins Zoom, and I was talking to Don Mattingly, asking him questions. I like asking questions. I was at Lone Depot Park yesterday, and the Marlins made Skip available. And of course, I am going to ask Skip questions. Because if I don't ask the difficult questions, it seems like nobody else will. At least that covers the Marlins on a daily basis. So Skip Schumacher is sitting there in the dugout, surrounded by the media. Not like Shohei Ohtani style surrounded, but he's surrounded by local media. And Mike Cugno from CBS4, good guy. I went off on him like 12 years ago here on this show. And at the time, I thought it was not really going off on him. I was going off on another show. At the time, I felt it was right, but I've met him many times now, and he's been here in South Florida and in this industry for quite some time, and he's a good guy. He shows off his arms like the gun show frequently, and I talked to him about that yesterday. I laughed, but he's a good dude, does a good job. So he brings up to Skip, he brings up the Pivot podcast that Jazz Chisholm Jr. went on. He brought it up. I don't remember the exact question, but he brought it up so Skip was at least talking about it. And that was the first time anybody had brought it up to Skip. And this aired, what, over a week ago? Jazz in that interview was essentially calling Miguel Rojas a bad person. He was ripping many of his former teammates. And up until yesterday, nobody had even mentioned it to Skip. So after Mike Cugno mentions it, somebody else asks a question that has nothing to do with it. It's a completely different subject. Like, hello, is there any type of follow-up? I actually tried to ask the follow-up, but one of the female reporters kind of got her words out first, and I just stopped and I let her go on. And then once Skip was done answering that question that had nothing to do with what Cugno said, that's when I came in. I'm like, okay, my words are coming out first here. I asked Skip Schumacher straight up what he thought about Jazz's comments. Pretty quick question. I don't want to give the person I'm asking a question to, I don't want to give them time to think. A lot of times you'll see that with reporters. They'll ask a question, but they ask the question and then talk for like another 7 or 8 seconds. And while they're talking, the person they're interviewing already is coming up with things to say. I don't like doing that. You get your best answers with quick questions. I quickly asked Skip what his thoughts were on Jazz's comments. And Skip told me that he did not watch the entire interview. He's not into watching things on social media. That's what he said. Said he heard a few things. He saw a couple of clips, but he didn't really watch much of it at all. And then he said, actually, you're the first person to ask me about it. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I almost wanted to follow that up with, well, what does that say about everyone else who's been talking to you? Because really, that's why he hasn't been asked about it. I have no idea how nobody asked him about that until yesterday, where Cuño mentions it, and then I come in and I ask that question about his thoughts on what Jazz said. How does nobody ask him about that? You're making big, bold statements about teammates. That's not the way clubhouse culture usually works in any sport. How often do we have athletes really spilling the beans the way Jazz did? It just doesn't happen often. So if you want to talk like that, like, go ahead. Say whatever you want. But at the same time, there's going to be questions about it. And you're also going to be held accountable for it. So Jazz says he stopped eating McDonald's and he wants to be better and he wants to focus more. I want to see that. Do I believe he can do it? I do. I like Jazz. Now, I'm not with him at all. I'm definitely not with him every day like his teammates are. But I think it's really cool how he interacts with kids at the ballpark. I like his talent. I mean, who doesn't like his talent? Jazz has so much potential. It's almost like he hasn't realized it yet. The dude could be a superstar. But so far, his career has been all about injuries. It's been a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda. This kind of has to be a put up or shut up season for Jazz. That's what the Marlins need. He's got to produce. Because we already know Luis Arraez is going to produce. He's very good at what he does. He's so good, sometimes we just might take it for granted. The guy has won back-to-back batting titles. He won it in the American League, and then he won it in the National League. That means there's not a pitcher in baseball that he cannot handle. He's just an absolute pure hitter. Such a great swing. That move, getting Luis Arraez, was such a great move by the Marlins. I'm down on this year's team, but I'm also fair. Luis Arraez is a stud. There is not a team in Major League Baseball that would not want him as their leadoff hitter. Not one. He's an absolute on-base machine. He's 200 hits waiting to happen, probably for the next 10 years. And the Marlins have this guy. He loves playing in Miami. He wants to stay a Miami Marlin. And what do the Marlins do? Do they give him a nice contract extension? Lock him up for the next decade? Maybe announce it at spring training? No. Instead, they go to court with him over a few bucks. Is that long-term thinking? I heard that was happening. I'm like, what are we doing here? The Marlins have been promoting Skip a lot, saying skip it. Whatever plans you have tomorrow, skip them. Skip it. Just go to the game. And I've seen some comments like, well, wait a minute. They're promoting the manager. What about promoting some players? Skip Schumacher did a really good job last season. They made the postseason. He's one for one. When Don Mattingly left, he said that they needed a new voice in that clubhouse. It was just becoming stale. Well, Skip came in. He changed the culture. He wanted an expectation of winning. And we'll see how he does in year two. We'll see how long he sticks around with the Miami Marlins. If another job opens up that's I'd say more appealing, which is probably many jobs. Skip Schumacher, he may take that job. Peter Bendix is the Marlins' new president of baseball operations. I have no idea what to think of him. I know he comes from the Rays organization. The moves that he made this offseason, they were late. He added Tim Anderson, who was really bad last year. The Marlins are banking on a bounce-back season from him. We'll see what they get. I saw that you can get a ticket to the game tomorrow for about $13. So there's no excuse not to go. It's opening day. If you're going to go to one game all year, go to opening day and bring instruments. I hope a lot of people have instruments tomorrow. I want this thing to be not only loud, but I want it to be fun. Let's hear drums. Let's hear everything. It's except vuvuzelas. We don't want any vuvuzelas. Well, here's something that should be music to your ears if you're buying a home, need a mortgage, or you're refinancing. The bagel loan that Stewie has got for you. What is the bagel loan? Well, Stewie could tell you exactly what it is, but let me sum it up. When you look at a bagel, you see a big zero in the middle, and that is what you will pay Stewie. Zero. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. It is the bagel loan, and Stewie has got the bagel loan for you. I have Stewie's personal cell phone number, and that's what I'm going to give you right now. So if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you want to call Stewie on his personal cell phone because you will pay him nothing with the bagel loan, no lender fees, and no appraisal fees. Here is his personal cell number, 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. The bagel loan, you pay Stewie nothing. MLS number 226715. The first two segments this hour, I focused on baseball and really focused just on the Miami Marlins. This segment right now, I need to focus on the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy needs to be ripped. People in South Florida love Jimmy, especially playoff Jimmy. How do you not love playoff Jimmy? But Jimmy Butler spends like 8 hours at the Miami Open on Monday. He's posting on social media. He's taking pictures. He was featured on the broadcast. Everybody knew that Jimmy Butler was there. Jimmy wanted everybody to know he was there. He looked fine. He looked healthy. And then, with his team pushing for a playoff spot, they're at home going up against a marquee opponent, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. And what does Jimmy do? Basically, he calls out sick. If that was a playoff game last night, I'm sure he would have played. But it wasn't. It was a regular season game. Jimmy calls out sick. That is such a bad look. I wouldn't be shocked if he miraculously felt better today and he's back out at the Miami Open. He's a huge tennis fan. He's got close relationships with some of the stars. But how about showing a little respect for your day job? I don't know if the Miami Heat have another miracle run in them. That would be from the play-in game to the NBA Finals. I really am not sure if the Miami Heat can do that again. It's hard to tell. And the reason it's hard to tell, you got Jimmy out, you got Tyler out, you got Kevin Love out, you got Duncan Robinson out. The Heat are just playing with what's left. But what I can tell you, in terms of respecting the regular season and the karma of basketball that Spo always likes to talk about, Jimmy, he didn't have it there. The Miami Heat are below the line right now for the play-in game. So they'd have to fight for their lives again to get in, and then they would have to face either Milwaukee or Boston in the first round. And being in that position, what does Jimmy do? He's just being Jimmy. Yeah, I can't play tonight. I don't feel well. Even though I was out at the Miami Open the night before. maybe being out in the heat, and I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and speculate. All I could tell you is that Jimmy's at the Miami Open, and then the next day, he's calling out sick. Now, when the playoffs begin, if he's out there putting up 50 pieces and going crazy, then we're all right back on the bandwagon. I'll be about how he rested during the regular season and how he knows exactly what he's doing, and you have to love him because take a look at what he's doing come playoff time. But I think at some point you've got to say, okay, it's go time. And that's before the playoffs begin. There's got to be a realization. These aren't elimination games, but they're important. They matter for seeding and positioning. Don't you want to have a little momentum going in? Don't you want to be playing well as the playoffs begin instead of just having to ramp it up from like 3 to 10? I'm sure if you talk to the Heat's brass privately, they'd all tell you this is completely unacceptable what Jimmy did last night, and it's hurting the team. I'm sure Spo would say that privately, probably did. Pat Riley too. But reality is when the playoffs start, whether it's playoffs or play-in, Jimmy's going to be the most important player. And most likely he'll be the best player on the court. But it's so frustrating right now. DNP Miami Open. That's just wild. It's going to be wild at Gulfstream Park on Saturday for the Florida Derby. They got live racing going on right now. The day to be there, well, any live race day. But this Saturday is better than ever because it is the Florida Derby happening in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. I will be there on Saturday. You should be there Saturday. And if you want to be in the spot I am, which is 10 Palms, the trackside restaurant, you've got to make a reservation. It's Florida Derby Day. That buffet is going to be so great. The racing is going to be great. So much action. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for all of the information and to make your reservation. It is a day that you do not want to miss at Gulfstream Park. It is the Florida Derby, and it is coming up this Saturday. I will be there, and I hope to see you too. Florida Derby Day this Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Tomorrow, I will be at Lone Depot Park for opening day. The Marlins taking on the Pirates. I just want to hear a lot of instruments. I want it to be a fun day at the ballpark. You won't hear me tomorrow because I'll be at opening day, and I'm out of time for now. But enjoy the rest of your Wednesday afternoon. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.